Hello, and welcome to It's All About Choices. This is the show where my guests and I discuss our lives and our careers framed from the choices that we've made. Some good, some bad. My name is David Barrow, and for those of you that don't know me, I've worked in and around IT services for far too long to mention. During this series, my guests and I are going to reflect on the choices that we have made that have led us up to today, but also our future choices. And we do this not just for ourselves, but because we think it's great to share these experiences. We want to help others on their career journeys, people who face similar choices to the ones we faced across our many varied career paths. And in this episode, we're going to delve into an area that's incredibly important in our industry, equality. Today, I host a duo of award-nominated experts, two women who taught me the importance of allyship. My guests are trailblazers in our industry. They set standards for service management. They co-create value across multiple enterprises. And as individuals, they are groundbreakers and enablers, both for themselves and for others. Collectively, they are now known as the women of ITSM. They are Lucy Grimwade and Sophie Hussey. Now, the Women of ITSM is a soon-to-be-launched community dedicated to women working in service management and beyond. Sophie and Lucy will discuss with us their choices leading up to today, their choices around their life, their careers, their goals, and their setbacks. We're going to have a little jump into their Instagram feed in a section inspired by my favourite YouTube show, First We Feast. Please send me checking if you could. Their choice to form the Women of ITSM, why it's needed and who it's for, and their choice of when to launch, how to launch, and how you can be part of something special going into the future. Now, if you're watching live via YouTube or LinkedIn, please feel free to ask questions or simply pop by to say hello, because after all, it's all about choices. So Lucy, Sophie, welcome to It's All About Choices. How are you?
Very well. Thank you so much. What a lovely introduction that was. Thank you so much for that.
Absolutely. I think you are going to be the person I come to write a bio for me every time without fail. Thank you very much for having us today.
Hey, there was nothing I said that wasn't true. So it's all true. And you both did teach me the value of allyship, which we'll possibly touch on later. So thank you for joining me today. It's really appreciated. It's nice to have you both on It's All About Choices, but we're here to talk about you, not to listen to me. So what I'd like to do is just jump straight in. We're going to talk about the women of ITSM in a little while, but we need to learn about you both first. So Sophie, let's begin with you. Could you take us through what's led you to here today, your choices, your life choices, your career choices, and some of those setbacks you've had along the way?
Absolutely. So I've been on quite a few podcasts and I've spoken about how I fell into service management. So I'm going to focus on a slightly different slant today, purely because I'm old, there weren't computers at school, all that sort of good stuff. And I just happened to fall into it at university. Now, I think something that's really important, I think, about me as an individual is I am not an academic person. I love to read, I love to learn, but I don't do very well in sort of typical academic environment. So I'm great until you give me an exam. Give me an exam and then it's not wonderful, particularly if it's computer based. So in that respect, I come from a family who all of my family members are super, super clever and they can answer all of the questions on University Challenge and I can't. If I get one an episode, I'm winning. So when I was younger and I was trying to figure out where I wanted to go, I had no idea. I've never had that one thing that I wanted to be when I grow up. I still don't. So my first choice was, I thought, right, I'm going to do A-levels. But that sort of mode of study, that doesn't work for me. I'm much better with modular study. So I quit after a year of A-levels and then I went to college. And I chose business studies because I didn't know what else to do. I didn't know anything about computer science. I didn't know what my various options were. I knew what my friends were doing. But none of that really excited me. Not that business studies excited me either. So then I went and chose to university on a whim because one of my friends said, hey, Sophie, you should go to uni. I was like, all right, then, go on then. And I chose, again, business studies. It was a business and management degree at Oxford Brookes Uni, where you could pick all sorts of modular bits and pieces that you could do. And I did a year of beginner's Japanese, which I cannot remember pretty much any of. I can remember one symbol to write. But that choice opened doors for me. It opened doors because I did a sandwich degree in the middle of it. And I chose that on purpose because I thought the best way to make me marketable would be to have some sort of work experience, full-time work experience in an office environment, say when it goes on my CV, that would help me. So, and it did. That sandwich degree and the experience and the things that I learned during those 4 years that helped me fall into IT. I did not realise, well, not that I didn't realise, but I didn't really acknowledge that I was walking into a male-dominated environment. I didn't care. That wasn't important to me. I grew up with an absolutely incredible role model of a mum. My mum is like my, I spoke about it on LinkedIn before. She's my hero. She was single parent. She changed career partway through her actual working life in her 40s to become a teacher. But one of the things that I think really sort of stands out is she was part of Women's Aid. She was very much talking about the advocacy for women, equality, protecting other people. And she would go and rescue women that were in difficult and challenging situations in the middle of the night, really kind of horrific things. I mean, I wouldn't hear about it. I would just hear my mum get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and leave the house. And I knew where she was going. But she was always very much vocal about, and she is still very vocal about being an advocate for equality across every characteristic, not just the gender ones. So because of that whole thing about walking into a male-dominated environment, I'm not bothered. Okay, that's great. I'm sure I can make that work for me. I was, I think, quite naive about what it was going to be like, and we'll get to the sorts of bits and pieces in a bit about sort of gender bias. But I just, each of my choices hasn't really been a choice. It's just been a case of, oh, that looks like a good idea. I'll give that a go. And I'm quite fluid about how my career has progressed up until working for myself, where I'm making very distinct choices about, yes, let's start Women of ITSM. Yes, I'm going to start consultancy by myself. Yes, I'm going to get involved in more podcasts and do more networking, all of those sorts of things. But as a permie, it was a case of, that's like a good idea. But I've never thought I want to be a CIO by the time I'm X age, because that's not a thing for me. And then that sort of approach with my personal life, it's just the same. I just sort of, I'm quite easy breezy. I'm an absolute control freak. And this is where I'm very, very confused about the choices I've made professionally, because I like structure. I like to know what's going to happen. I like to know where things are going. But at the same time, I also recognize that I cannot control outside of the Sophie. So I just go with how things go and take it as it comes. Just going into like the sort of gender bias stuff just briefly, I will try very hard not to get on the soapbox. But one of my favorite things is, I posted the other day talking about on LinkedIn, talking about somebody who said, can you fix it as well as the boys? Yes, I can. I'm teaching them, actually. Thank you very much for asking. And in any of those sorts of situations where I'm confronted with somebody who maybe has some sort of bias or sort of whatever way of thinking that doesn't involve being equal in your approach to other people, I always have an answer for it. I don't like to be rude. I always want to act with kindness and treat people with empathy, no matter what, even if they're being a bleep. I will always try and be respectful, but I will have an answer for it. So I made a joke of it. Yes, of course, Kev. I'm teaching you, obviously. But I've had so many things said to me, like I'm expected to write the meeting minutes because I'm female, and book meetings. I had one situation where I was in the office. There was a load of people talking behind me, senior people talking behind me. I was working away, doing my thing. And one of them didn't even turn round to look at me and said, Sophie, book me a taxi. sorry, what? Me? sorry, pardon, you're actually talking to people who can do that for you. And I'm pretty sure you have hands and access to a telephone. You can do that yourself because you're an adult. And I was quite sort of taken aback. I think that is one of the moments where I chose to be snappy, because I raised my eyebrow, which is something I learned how to do at school when I was being sarcastic and cheeky back to teachers and fellow students. And I said, I can book you a taxi, but you can do that yourself. And then I just let that sit there for a minute. And because of how I generally am, I'm a really easygoing, friendly person. And like I said, I believe in acting with kindness in every situation. The people this person was with were shocked. And when they like booked the taxi and did it as a one-off, when that individual had left, I turned to the two senior people that he was talking to who were in my line management, my boss and my boss's boss, and I said, if that person ever asks me to do that again, I expect you to stop them or to stand up for me, because just because I'm female, that's not cool. But it's stuff like that that's happened so many times throughout my career, and I have to make a choice. Going back to the it's all about choices, I have to make a decision in that moment. How am I going to respond? And I think that both in my personal and my professional life, the thing that I'd like to share the most is I believe in the moral high ground. I will not lower myself down to a level of somebody that's trying to get some sort of rise on me. That particular moment, I was snappy because they'd irritated me, and that was rude. There was no need for that. But generally, there are ways to manage that situation. So I can say, thank you very much. I don't appreciate your tone or what you've just said to me, but I'll be damned if I'm going to let you get the better of me. I'm going to do what's right, and I will stay to the moral high ground, and I will act in a way that's true to my values, but also not just for me personally, so I can say at the end of the day, yes, what I've done there is right, but anybody that's around me can say, actually, Sophie's handled that really well. I want to be a role model for my children and my children's friends, and then any of my peers or anyone that I'm working with as well, just so that they know there are other ways to handle situations, and they may see things that happen that aren't cool, and there are ways to say that's not acceptable without causing some sort of conflict or having some sort of difficult situation to deal with. But throughout my career, it's been, I think generally the people that I've worked with, whilst all lovely, they are lucky that I have the sense of humour that I do, and that I don't let it get further than the skin, because some things that have been said to me over the years, because I'm female, similar to the thing that you posted the other day, David, and what you spoke about at SITS when you two were talking about allyship, absolutely shocking, disgusting things have been said to me. And it's a driver. It's something that makes me want to question the status quo and keep pushing the boundaries to make sure that we're doing the right things and we're driving for equality across everything, again, every single protected characteristic, not just male, female, because it's so important.
Absolutely.
In a nutshell, there's a bit of a waffle, I hope, not too much, but
no, it's resonating with the audience. So Simone and Louise, thank you for saying hello in the comments, but also Simone has put a comment here based on your scenario. And I think what I see is I've been working in this industry for 30 years, and never has anybody asked me to call them a cab. Never has anybody asked me to take the minutes unless it wasn't my turn, in which case, of course, I should be taking the minutes. And I know some other scenarios that may come up later. Nobody's ever touched me with those. And I know we're going to get to know you in a moment, Lucy. But as you can see from Simone there, she experiences the same situation. She has to practice how she responds. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe you have to do that. Why should you practice how you respond to a request that frankly is out of order? But hey, you know, I live a privileged life where those things don't happen to me. And that's kind of the point of this conversation today, is to highlight the need for something to help others. But it's not all just focused on one demographic. And I'll allow you both to explain that in a moment. Lucy. Hello.
Hello.
So we've heard from Sophie about her choices up to today and some elements of bias. What would you like to share with us about your choices and those moments in your life and career?
I generally think I've made I've actually actively made certain choices to be in tech. So when I was at school, I was very fortunate enough to have an ICT A-level teacher who kind of pitched the idea to me to go and work into tech. Because originally, when I applied to go to university, which weirdly, I felt like I had no other choice but to go to university because I didn't know what else to do with my life. There was people around me that were going and doing, going to work. I was like, well, I don't want to work. I don't know what I'm going to do. So I felt pressured, if I'm honest, to go to university because, what else was I going to do? But originally I applied to go to university to do media studies because I liked doing media. I liked being creative. I did English literature as well for my A-levels. And then I did ICT. And so I originally applied to go and do media studies, got accepted, planned to go. And then when I was speaking to some of my teachers, they kind of pitched the idea of doing a tech degree. And I ended up having to reapply and going to university to do computing. And I'll always remember to what Sophie was saying, I didn't even think it was. No one told me it was going to be a male-dominated field. I went to a sixth form where probably 10 people were in my year that had bothered to kind of go to do A-levels. And in that ICT class, there were six of us and probably three were women and three were men. So already I'm like, I don't see any problems here. And I remember turning up at university and being like, oh, looks like I'm the only woman here. And then at first it didn't really hit me. And then as I kind of got a little bit more kind of in the different roles, but weirdly also I noticed, obviously you notice that you're the only female and everyone else is male, but there was never really necessarily a problem. And the problems really happened just when I started to kind of go into work and kind of all the experiences that Sophie has talked about are all the experiences that I've gone through. And I'm just going to quickly side pitch our book, David, that David and I are writing a book together, and we share these true stories of things that have happened to us. So buy the book and you can read our stories there. But then I guess my next active choice was about staying in IT. So, well, kind of split there. So I decided to stay in tech probably about 5 years ago. I was thinking, right, that's it. Don't want to be in tech anymore. Don't like it. I'm going to go and do something creative. I should have done media studies. I should have been in marketing. I should go and work in fashion. Should. And I tried out lots of different things. And then a few years later, I met David and had some mentoring with David. A few years later, after that, I met Sophie. And things shifted and changed for me. So I, again, it comes back to choice. I chose to stay here. I choose to stay in IT. I choose to be in service management. I could go and start from scratch and start again. I'm young enough to go and do that and go and do a whole new career again. But I choose to stay in technology. And then that leads me on to the bias. And when we were talking about what we were going to talk about on this today, there's so much in society that there's no wonder why we've got so many problems in tech. Because there's such an issue in society still today. I was walking home earlier from a gym class with someone that I've met at the gym and doing all these classes with. And we were talking about, men typically aren't very good at cleaning. Women are better at cleaning. Women are better cooks. Women can cook dinner. We're still having that conversation in 2024. We're still talking about that. If you have a look on social media, if you have a look in magazines, every woman is skinny. Every woman is blonde and tall. And, you're constantly told, go and buy this cream, go and take collagen for your skin, go and do microneedling for your skin, do this, do that, be beautiful, wear makeup constantly. So no wonder why this is feeding into business, because we are constantly consumed with this information that women should be a certain way. Women should be at home cooking and cleaning. They're still talking about that. Women don't talk about, the girlfriends that I go out with for a glass of wine or whatever. We don't talk about business. We don't talk about finances. But I listen to my partner's conversations when we go out as couples or as groups, and I hear them talk about their businesses, their investments, what books they're reading right now, what are they listening to? And that's what needs to change. We need to make it more accessible or talk about it more. Sophie and I had a conversation earlier. Sophie was helping out with something where we talked openly about money and we just talked about it. There was nothing. I had nothing to hide. She had nothing to hide. And we just talked about it. And that's, we're constantly told, and it'd be interesting to hear from the audience too, as women, you're kind of, oh, don't tell anyone how much you earn. Don't share that. Don't share your benefits. Don't share that. Do share it. Don't gatekeep it, because people need to know what they need to be working towards. And I do know I'm on a bit of a soapbox with it, but it's something that's really, really annoyed me recently. And I've also just noticed that we went through a bit of a phase of kind of empowering women and talking about body positivity. And we've ended up doing a bit of a 360 back around, oh no, go on a diet and do this and do that. And it's something at the moment that's really, really bothering me. And it's bothering me for the younger generations too. I have a friend of mine who has a 12-year-old girl, and she was going to me, oh, Lucy, look, I've lost weight. She's 12, and she's saying to me, oh, look, I've lost weight. And it's just so damaging. And then it just feeds into the business part again. I've kind of gone off on my little tangent there. Stop me before I swear.
So I think what you've said is what goes on in the real world ends up in our world. Because of the media outlets we consume and so on. And I think it's completely true. I've seen, in the long time that I've worked in this industry, I've seen that cycle of people attending work in different forms of themselves. I've worked with some people long enough to see them develop from a young person into a grandparent. But what I've also seen is their attitude, their ways, their sense of purpose and self change in line with what's expected of them from a societal perspective. So I'm talking about people of an older age who still, you know, they've changed the way they dress, they've changed their personality to suit their age based on what they're told their age should be doing. I'm just going to post a few of our audience comments just to take stock for a moment. So I'm not sure who this person is. I suspect it's something to do with their sign in. But this was posted as you were speaking, Sophie, around your experiences and being labelled as a woman with attitude. I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous. If I go into a room and suggest somebody stops doing something, it's just, oh, because he's in charge, if I am in charge, or you know, nothing else. I don't get labelled as anything, really, apart from depending on how I do it, obviously. If I do it in a rude way, then I'm rude. If I do it in a respectful way, but you don't get that opportunity, so...
No, if I can just add, I've had to learn from earlier on in my career how not to be seen as bossy, how not to be seen as arrogant or anything like that. In when I'm celebrating success, how to be assertive in a room without stepping on somebody's toes or damaging someone's egos. And I'm not talking about male egos. I mean, egos full stop, because there is negative connotations towards a woman being empowered, assertive, and being comfortable in speaking her mind. And that really saddens me. And based on the number of people that I mentor and the interactions I've had with them over the years, this is still happening. People are still having to measure what they're saying, how they're saying it, the tone, the body language, what they're wearing, all of that sort of, pardon my word, crap, is still happening. And it's just wrong. Nobody should have to worry about that. You should just be allowed to be your authentic self without any of that rubbish. Sorry, I'm going to go on soapbox again.
So no, it's all good. I'm going to share some more comments, though. I'm conscious that every time I share a comment, I half cover you, Sophie, and it really annoys me. I'm going to speak the comments so we can digest them and kind of move through our small agenda. So Simone made a great comment as we were talking about cleaning and cooking, saying just because we can, and perhaps even if we're better at it, doesn't mean we should, because if they leave it to us, they'll never learn. Completely agree with that. Absolutely. Becky Hill mentioned that she's had it drummed into her not to show her salary and outgoings. she never thought why until you mentioned it, and now she's thinking about it a lot. So I think you've opened up some thought there, Lucy. Simone talks about this stuff being societal, a reflection of culture, and then it's exacerbated within our organisations. And it can be negated if leadership's really good. Ian Cannons, thank you for commenting. Your comment's that big that I'm worried I'll cover the whole of Sophie, so I'm going to flash it up and then talk about it and bring it back out. I want to be respectful to Sophie and the comments because they're so good. But Ian says that in his experience within the industry, there are still so many owners still driving 1980s practices and cultures.
Mm.
Absolutely. And I think I'm old enough to see that. I completely agree. Neil's mentioned that your comment about teenage children is valid. And he also mentions that it's affecting boys as well as girls, and I've seen that body dysmorphosis in boys and girls. And Louise, I'll pop this one on screen. I've not even read this one yet. Was recently told by a CEO she was working for that she needs to be more like the male sales director. I'm going to pop it off because, Sophie, we can't see you. I'll read the rest. I need to go back to StreamYard about this. She was told to go on more in a mirror before she presented to the board. It was all about her dialing up aggression and not allowing other people to speak. She voted with her feet and left. And Alexia, thank you for joining us. She's thanking us for thanking you for sharing your experiences and saying that your experiences, Sophie, really resonate with her. She's always felt that the way she looks has been impacted, and she's been spoken and treated in professional life as a woman in a male-dominated environment, including weight, makeup, and what she's wearing on the day, and none of that should matter. Thank you, everyone, for the comments. I'm sorry to move through them so quickly. They are freely available on LinkedIn, by the way, and afterwards we can always comment back. We've gone quite deep quite quickly, so I just want to just lighten us a little bit before we go into the women of ITSM. I've completely stolen this, as I mentioned in my intro, from my favourite YouTube show, First We Feast. If anyone wants to see Will Smith crying because he's eating chili, it went on yesterday and it's hilarious. Literally, the concept of the show, really quickly, is you start with 10 chicken wings and they get progressively hotter. And I'd love to do this to service management people because I can have hot food. And he's able to get people to say things they just weren't willing to say when they walked into the room, and he does it with Will. Anyway, as part of that section, he gets them to describe their Instagram feed called the Deep Dive into the Gram. So I just thought this was a good thing to learn more about you both. So I'm going to pop onto the stage, your feed. And Lucy, let's start with you on this one. Tell us about this picture and who and where it was taken.
This is my beautiful dog, 2-year-old, beautiful girl. Look how beautiful she is. Pippa, I'm saying her name quietly in case she wakes up and starts barking at me. She is literally the best thing we've ever done is getting a dog, full stop. I've suffered terribly with my mental health for my whole kind of whole life. And since having a dog over the last couple of years, I have been so much better just in myself. I go out for walks every day. In a way, she saved me from myself, and I didn't even realise that that this would be a thing. And I just love her to pieces. And as you can see, that she is on a beach, and that is Seaford Beach. And then that's where I grew up. So regularly we go down and see Nanny and Granddad. That's right. I'm also Mummy. and we go down on Seaford Beach, and she absolutely loves running along the beach. As you can see, she's got her lovely purple harness on. I pretty much work so I can buy her things.
Love it.
Yeah, so she is, that's Pippa. Pippa Fierce, actually, we've named her. Even at the vets when we registered her, there's Pippa Fierce. So those that know Beyonce, her alter ego is Sasha Fierce. And I said when I registered at the vets, I was like, her name is Pippa Fierce. My partner's surname. And said, that's because she is a strong, independent woman. And the vets didn't really know how to react to me, but I didn't really care. But yeah.
Love it. I have two dogs. Pippa's getting a lot of love, by the way, in the comments. Patrick says that the process of walking the dogs works, and I agree. I have two. It helps me an awful lot of my mental health and thinking. And Becky just says she loves Pippa. And Patrick, by the way, they do vegan wings on the show. So as a vegetarian, you're all good. Don't worry. Right then. So, Sophie, we're going to dive into your gram there. Please tell us what's happening here.
Oh, so I love Pippa. I love dogs, but I'm a cat lady. So I don't have that sort of walking the dog in that sort of process to help me with my mental health, which peaks and troughs through the years. So this is me doing a photo shoot, doing aerial hoop, which is literally, as you can see, a metal hoop suspended from the ceiling by a thing called a strop. This is something that has massively helped me with my mental health over the past sort of 2.5-3 years. So I am a woman of a certain age. I am going through perimenopause, and menopause is just around the corner. I have been struggling with my weight, body image, all of those things that we all suffer from what society tells us. So my Instagram is predominantly posting of things that I've done at Hoop, wearing things that I wouldn't normally share that much of myself with people. And both of my accounts that I have, the Snow Princess and the Sophie, are open to everybody because I am trying to promote body positivity and the fact that I am late 40s and I can still do stuff like hang on a hoop upside down. It is a true passion for me, and somebody, because I'm an introvert naturally, which I've spoken about before, but in work I come across as an extrovert. When it comes to social situations, I find it quite difficult. And my first day walking into the studio where I did the hoop lesson, I was really scared. I thought I was going to go into like the cliche gym environment and people would be like, ooh, what's that chunky girl doing here and all that sort of stuff. I actually walked into one of the most supportive environments I have ever been in, where I've never met as many cheerleaders until I met you guys, who just promote and support anybody in the room. There is no care about what gender somebody is, where they're from, nothing. It's just all about how you're getting on, what you're doing. And the other thing that I post about, which isn't on this picture, but I tend to post in Finnish as well because I've been learning Finnish for about 8 years. I'm not very good at it, but this doing aerial hoop for me is something I'm incredibly proud of because it's not easy. To lift my body weight to get into that position and hold it long enough for that photo. Oh my gosh, I had DOMS for days. Everything hurt. But it's something I'm very, very proud of.
Amazing. You should be incredibly proud. And I just want to thank you both, because when I approached you about doing this, you are giving people who you mainly know in a professional setting an insight into your real world, into your life, and you're exposing yourself. So thank you for doing that, because I know it's probably a bit deeper than just answering a few questions about service management and your career. So thank you very much. Patrick also agrees that it's an amazing pick. Oh, there we go. Look, we're not covering you up. This is good. This is good. Right then. So let's get to kind of what we're here for today. So as I mentioned in the introduction, you are forming a collective. A collective known as the Women of ITSM. Now, I've seen and been privileged to see you building this. I've also been interested to see some of the comments you've had. So I think we're going to try and address some of those in the next few minutes. But let's begin with, why is the Women of ITSM needed, Lucy?
I think even just from the comments shows how much it's needed, with people sharing their experiences. I think something for Sophie and I was when we were kind of coming together and we were talking about wanting to build a venture together, what that could look like, what that could be. It was other people's stories. It was women coming to us and telling us that they're still being asked to take minutes, or they don't know what qualification to go and take, or we've asked for mentoring within service management perhaps, and they haven't really got it because they don't really know who to ask. And some of the people that have been, you know, kindly, you know, have been in the industry for a long, 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 long time, haven't got the empathy skills or the understanding. Not you, David, you're different. thinking I don't have those skills. And I've witnessed that too. Like, I've gone to speak to people who have been in service management for 100 years, and then I've spoken to them to say, please, can you help me? And I've always met with like, oh, do you think maybe you should go and be a PA? Do you think maybe you should just go and see what marketing, what about going and doing something in finance, HR? So that's one of the reasons why, after like upon many reasons, why we wanted to create Women of ITSM, and why we think it's needed, is because we want to help other women, not just women, which I know you're going to ask us some questions on that later, but to know more, to learn more, to gain more, and not feel so alone.
I think, again, as I say, I've been privileged to sort of been privy to what you've been planning and what you're doing, and I can't wait till we talk about when and where and so on. But even though you tell me these things, and I've heard these things now, and I continue to hear these things, it still beggars belief for me that these behaviours continue to happen. And I just find it insane, to be perfectly honest. But what I'd like to also discuss, and I'm going to address this question to you, Sophie, if I could, is who is the Women ITSM for? Is it just for women, or can men get involved?
100% men can get involved. Absolutely. Predominantly, the focus is to support fellow women, to give them that sort of space where they can ask the questions, they can get the support and build this community together. But in no way, shape or form is it exclusionary to any other gender. If somebody wants to get involved, get involved. We are always, always open and willing to have more and more allies. Because, I mean, there's things that I see posted about women, and like Lucy was saying, all of the societal pressures that we have, societal pressures still exist for men as well. Men can't cry, men can't share their feelings. There's all these things that we need to consider from that perspective. So it's a safe space for anybody who wants to join, and we're more than happy to have as many people as humanly possible. I think the important thing is that we are trying to create something special. It does have a female focus. Anybody who identifies as female or as a woman. But absolutely, the more allies, the better. Because realistically, to do what the aim of what we're doing is to drive change, positive change. And we can't do that by ourselves. We need a collective of people from all different walks, backgrounds, all different places in order to make that change happen. So, no, the more the merrier, please.
Love it. And we've talked about allies, and I realise it's possibly not our intention sitting here today to discuss allyship, so we'll keep this brief. But as I said at the beginning, you both taught me about allyship. So I just want to say to any men watching that there is a real internal monologue and struggle that I had before I got involved in any of this kind of stuff, working with women in tech, doing the mentoring, getting to know Lucy and Sophie and many others, where you feel like you're adding to the problem. And it's difficult to get over. And you both explained to me yourself originally, Sophie, and then when I started working with Lucy, really solidified that it's actually incredibly important that we offer support. And when I say we, I mean us of privileged white males, that we offer that support, but it's how we do it, not impose upon it, not insist upon it, but offer it. And so Women of ITSM, I hope, gives people, men, anybody, that opportunity to offer support. And I believe that's what you're saying. And hopefully that addresses any questions around who it's open to. Khan has very kindly commented saying he loves you sharing your stories. Building this community takes time and dedication. So thank you. So is there anything else you'd both want to say before we go into the exciting news about when you're launching? Is there any other hook you want to give people about why they should be considering joining the Women of ITSM? And that's an open question to the two of you.
I think
what's the choice people need to make?
I know, to join. Clear choice, join. I think what we're launching here isn't just another one of those communities, another one of those membership platforms that you sign up and then you don't ever use it again. Sophie and I talked about this. We're part of loads of different memberships and programs and stuff, and we've spent a lot of money joining these things and not getting any value from it. So both of us have our own values. Excuse me, kind of mix my words with this a little bit. With our own values, we want to make sure that this is value-led, because that's what's important to us. So you don't just join and then that's it, you never hear from us or see us again. We're going to be doing things, and just kind of as a bit of a teaser more than anything, the things that you'll have access to are things like a forum and the newsletter, and there'll be a magazine and some training and hearing from thought leaders within our industry, group sessions, so much more, but I'm trying to not spoil it all now to let you all know what's coming. But I think that's what we really want you to know, is that this is not something, we know that we have been that, those people too that have signed up things, have been a bit unsure and not had any value from it, but please know that we want to just continue to add value but also give other people a voice too. So if people want to come along and say, well, actually, I've got this idea, I'd like to host this webinar, can I host it for the community? Yeah, come and host it. Come and practice what you need, and then we'll give you feedback afterwards, and we'll help you and we'll coach you to do the next thing. I'm going to shut up now before any more spoilers come out my mouth.
Are you able to share anything that doesn't spoil anything, so?
Well, what I was just going to add is, anybody that follows me on LinkedIn will see that I post on a regular basis about future-proofing service management. And this is what this is about as well, to future-proof service management. At the end of the day, we've got a lot of people who are at the sunset of their career, as I like to call it, who are about to retire. And these are the sort of brilliant minds who have written all the ITIL books and the service management stuff. They're going. Who's stepping in their stead? We need people. We need to keep driving this forward, because the value that service management brings to any organization is beyond IT. It is beyond tech. And we need to invest and develop the sort of way of thinking and everything that we're doing in order to future-proof service management. So I'm deliberately talking about that and not giving any spoilers, because I'm that person that when I get somebody a present, I'm like, oh, I've got your present, so excited for you to open it, and then I basically told them before they open it, so I will not. But I was just going to say that I'm super excited, trying to contain my excitement.
So I guess what we're saying is we've got a community here that's going to help people of any sex, of any gender or identified gender, to help improve themselves, which we hope would help improve the industry. And also, we don't want to discriminate against half of the working population when we're looking to, you know, build on these amazing foundations. Let's not get it wrong. The people that set up service management and still in it today, they're doing an incredible job. Like you say, who's the torch getting passed to? We don't want to alienate half the potential workforce as we do that. And I guess what we can say is, I'm sure you'll both post afterwards where to go and learn more about Women of ITSM. There is a newsletter. That's where you might get some nice clues. Right then. So let's get to the exciting stuff. Who's going to tell me, Lucy, when you are going to launch via an in-person event?
So we are launching our in-person event on the 2nd of July in London, Hammersmith. Thank you for putting that there. Sorry, make sure I've got the date and time right. Harvest 5 to Harvest 8. Next week, you will hear from us on our socials, the location. But if you are one of the newsletter subscribers, then you should already know the location, because we teased that out today. So we have got our in-person event, but we also really do appreciate that not everybody is London-based or even UK-based. So over to you, Sophie, if that's all right.
Yes. So we will also be doing a virtual event on Wednesday, the 3rd of July, between 6 o'clock and 8 p.m., which will be on Teams. And more detail for that will be shared next week on socials as well. But absolutely, from the people who have already subscribed, when we look at the statistics and the information about where people are from, it is already getting interest globally. That was poor English. So we want to make sure, I mean, that time zone might not necessarily work for everybody, but we are going to consider that going forwards and how we can manage to have social events and so other bits and pieces, almost spoiler, that caters for all time zones. So yes, there'll be an online event. So super excited for London, be zooming down to London for the Tuesday, zooming back home for the virtual event on the Wednesday. But then that leads to the launch day, right?
It does. But before we get there, let's before we get there, if I just stop you for a moment, you've had some nice comments, so I think it's good to share them if that's okay. When we were talking about future proofing, Simone or Smojo has said it's certainly about succession planning. It's so underdone. So be brave, be so good that you can be made redundant. Love it. Becky is looking forward to your in-person event and supporting you. And Smojo says that she wishes she could do face-to-face and should be traveling on the online event day, but she's wishing you great success with wonderful vibes rippling about. So sorry I stopped you in your flow there. I know we've got the big launch date, the big reveal to come. So let's talk about that then. When are you? We've got another one. There you go.
Thank you, Patrick. So, I think it's also important to mention, by the way, sorry I'm interrupting, is just because we're launching in London, we just want to make people aware that we're not always going to do stuff in London. We are going to make sure that we do cover, you know, the rest of the UK, because I'm very aware, personally myself, and Sophie and I have talked about this, is so many things are always kind of London-centric. And when Sophie and I were talking about it, we're like, we don't want to do that either, because it's going to make it harder for individuals. So we're very, 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 very fortunate that we have such a load of fantastic businesses that are willing to collaborate with us, that will host us. So we're going to be in places like in Leeds and Manchester and Bristol, and maybe even one day Scotland. And if anyone wants to pay for us to go over to New York, that would also be great. Barcelona, Paris. I'm just putting it out there, putting it out to the universe, guys.
But on that note, though, I mean, as I mentioned, I've been privileged to see you start to form this. And I hope you don't mind me sharing, but you've already got people who are women of ITSM in the United States, in Australia. Yes. So you are setting up a global presence. Now, how that develops obviously is going to be down to you and down to people's appetite. But if anybody is watching this live or after the event or listening to it on Spotify, thinking, oh, I'm in a different country entirely, how do I get involved? Please go and join the Women of ITSM newsletter, learn more, and maybe you can help it come to wherever you are. So the big launch. So when does the Women of ITSM actually launch as a platform that people can get involved in?
So that will be, I don't know if Sophie, you was going to take it. Do you want to take that? No. Okay. So that will be on the 4th of July. So I feel like, Sophie, this should be you taking this bit. I'm going to pass the baton over to you.
So we have deliberately picked the 4th of July, although somebody has tried to steal our thunder with a major UK event happening on the same day, hence why the launch event is not on the same day. So the premise for the 4th of July, whilst we don't necessarily know all the history of what why the 4th of July is so important in America, I'm not a history person, I don't know all the information, but what I do know about the 4th of July is about independence, it's about freedom, it's about empowerment, it's about celebration of success and various other bits and pieces. So for us, it's a really, really great day for us to say, hey, we're here as the Women of ITSM, we are launching now, this is our key day, this is something that we want to mark alongside Independence Day and everything else that's going on. It ties into our values very nicely, the various bits and pieces that make this day a great day for us. So excited. Sorry, I waffled a little bit there, but I'm just so giddy.
Do you know what? It's all about freedom and celebration, isn't it? When we're talking about having the launch, it's about celebrating our industry as well as kind of being a bit more independent for ourselves. And I guess also what would be really nice to add is when you come along, hopefully to see lots of your lovely faces at these different events that we're hosting, is that we're going to be able to share loads more with you around, you know, what the platform's going to look like. We'll give you a demo, get some of your ideas, some of you may have seen as well, we've already kind of put a call for contributors to come out and write some lovely articles for us so we can go live with some great content day one. Really would love to see your beautiful faces there, because we're going to be able to share so much with you. And I think sometimes you can't, you know, a post is a post, right? But if you can see us physically showing you and doing all these bits with you, I think you're going to get loads of value from it too. And there's a few other extra lovely bits to it, which we'll announce next week.
Love it. Love it. So let's talk about that call for contributors, because I think that's a really important piece. Have you, because we've got an audience in front of us right now and obviously listening in the future to our past selves, but are there any particular contributions you're seeking? Anything you'd like people to contribute, write about, blog about, talk about?
Everything and anything, to be honest. Because whilst it's the Women of Service Management, it's not just about service management. It's about so much more than that, whether it's about personal growth, whether it's about career development, whether it's hints and tips, interview planning, whatever it is, whatever somebody wants to write about and whatever they want to contribute is more than welcome. Even if they wanted to do some sort of spotlight on, hey, this is me, this is how I've got to this point in my career, these are the things that I've learned, anything like that. And there is going to be a call for people to do webinars for us as well, which is a different type of contribution and a different type of thought leadership, because we just want to give that sort of that level of information and open up the doors to people to learn from the people in our community and the wider community that is not just tech, but all different sectors, all different flavours.
I think I'll add to that, Sophie, to say that if this is something that you're keen to doing, like hosting a webinar, especially to let us know sooner rather than later, because we actually already have quite a full agenda over the next couple of months after the go live launch of people that are already going to be speaking for us and contributing to the platform. So I kind of almost get your name in there quick so we can get you on the calendar and get you there.
Fantastic. We've got another couple of comments. So Smoga, who's now departing at a moment, she talks about Independence Day being when America finally declared separation from British rule. And Smoga also has to duck off for another session, but she just wanted to wish you all the best and say she'll speak in the future. And for those that don't know Simone, she's down in France and she's going to be having a nice glass of bubbles in celebration. So good for you, Simone. I'm joining you there. And Alexia has also commented, for the call for contributors to write a short article, is that for people who already write and publish, or can anyone give it a go?
Everyone and anyone. There are no boundaries. Obviously, we might do a little bit of sense checking depending on someone's experience with writing, but we'll go through an editing process with people just to make sure that it's meeting the sort of community guidelines and everything that we are having. But everybody and anybody, I mean, public speaking as well with the webinars, that can be scary. And doing things like webinars is a great way to step into it, because it's not as scary when you're looking at hundreds of faces in front of you. So if somebody wants to do some sort of learning and development there and they want to try it, then absolutely, why not? Everybody, go for it.
Yes.
Brilliant. Well, thank you for joining me today. Thank you for all the comments. Is there anything else you'd like to share before we close, or indeed any more comments from the live audience? I think from my perspective, I just want to say anything I or others can do to support you, we're always here. It's incredibly important and incredibly brave what you're doing, so thank you for doing it. We've got a thank you from Alexia, and I look forward to seeing more in the future and maybe getting that invite for July the 2nd. So Lucy, Sophie, the women of ITSM. Oh, we've got a question from Lauren. So let me just pop that on. We go, how do we sign up for the newsletter, please? Love this.
Lauren, we will make sure that on the LinkedIn, when we come off this, we'll put a link to the newsletter and you can sign up. So it's just a Substack. I say it's just. It is a Substack newsletter, which, by the way, such a great platform. just going to promote it there. So please do sign up, Lauren. I look forward to, hopefully, Lauren, look forward to seeing you at one of the events as well.
Yeah, good stuff. Come along, Lauren. I'm going to close there. We've got more comments coming in thanking you, saying it's been a great session. So thank you, everybody that's tuned in. It's been really good. You've spent 54 minutes with us either in your early morning or over your lunch hour, and it's incredibly valued. Now, please go away, sign up to Women of ITSM, support events, support the ladies. Sophie, Lucy, thank you for joining me today. And I shall now collectively call you the Women of ITSM. Thank you for coming on. It's all about choices.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.